You know, tens of thousands of times you've said, God loves you, and so do I. Well, on our television broadcast, you know, we're on every week on CBS and also WLMB. We have a similar phrase, and I say to the camera, to all the people who are watching, God believes in you, and so do we. So I say that to you as you preach, my friend.
Oh,
I love you.
Thank you.
God believes in you, and so do we. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
God
thank
bless
you.
Brother.
Thanks, friend.
Where's the camera? I promised your mother I'd look right in the camera.
Oh, yeah. There's three cameras in the back, so just...
Oh, okay. So, you know what I'm up to here. But, hey, I always say, turn to the person next to you, shake their hand and say, God loves you and so do I. Do you feel comfortable doing that here? Then do it. Turn to the person next to you, shake their hand and say, God loves you and so do I. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can wave. There you go. Wave. God loves you, so do I. God loves you and so do I. You know, you can't do that through social media. It doesn't work. You can send hearts, you know, and they fly all over the place. But you can't look in somebody's eye and say, God loves you and so do I. There's nothing like it. And I've been involved with online ministry, social ministry, since 1976 when I graduated from college. My dad started the Hour of Power in 1970. And what the Hour of Power was the very first social experiment with worship through ulterior motives, through ulterior means. And that's what the Hour of Power was. It was a worship service. People could watch virtually and worship virtually. And it has tremendous impact. It has had untold impact internationally and around the world and in the hearts and minds of people. How many people ever saw the Hour of Power on television? Anyone ever here seen that? Hey, there you go. So you know what I'm talking about. It's a fabulous experience. But it has its limitations. And knowing that, I was in the process of creating what was called Houses of Power. And there was a time where I was, and I created a bunch of Houses of Power across the nation. And what that was we were bringing people together in their own home, and they would watch it together, and they would be in their own rooms, in their own homes, with a bunch of other people in a small group experience. And then I would mail them some questions, some discussion questions about the sermon that day and about the worship service, and they would have a much fuller experience. And again, because I understand the limitations of a media church. Now suddenly in Southern California, everyone's gone virtual. I've been doing virtual since 1976, and I'm going, I'm done with virtual. I don't want virtual. I want real. I want to be able to hug my friend Steve. I want to be able to hug other people. I want to be able to look in someone's eyes physically and say, God loves you. And I do too. I wanted that experience. I needed that experience. That's why I started the drive-in church. You're in your own little cocoon. You're totally and completely 100% safe as you want to be. There's no, you don't have to wear a mask. You're in your own car. You can look through the window at somebody and you can get eye to eye and you can feel the love. And that's what we did. And now we did it to flatten out the curve. We did it to flatten out the curve. So I had a bet go, and I said, it's going to end the Wednesday before Easter 2020. Guess what? I lost. I lost big time. And the reason I said that was Wednesday before Easter 2020 was Passover. And I thought, okay, Donald Trump is going to want to allow all the Jews across the nation to be able to gather together and celebrate Passover. That'll be the perfect time, and then the churches can come together on Easter and they can worship. That'll be the perfect time. It's going to be Wednesday before Easter. Wrong. Wrong. Here we are a year later. here we are. And I want to congratulate you. Steve tells me you opened in the first part of May. I only know of a handful of churches in the entire state of California who opened. Maybe five churches in all of California who opened. And I want to congratulate you for having the faith in your God to be able to protect you, to carry you, and to allow you to come and gather together for worship. Give yourselves an applause for having the faith to trust God enough to come together and worship. Here we are. Thank you, God, for allowing us to do this. I find myself kind of stunned at saying these words. Why? Because we live in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, I don't see a lot of churches that are very brave today. I have really been disappointed with the leadership in churches across this nation. They're just living scared. It's like they've never heard the words of Paul to Timothy. what did Paul tell Timothy? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. I don't see a lot of pastors that have a whole lot of courage these days. And you guys are very, very fortunate. Why? Because you have a pastor who has courage. You have a pastor who's giving you leadership, leading you into a future, and as a result of his courage, there is nothing you can't do with God. You can do all things through him. Follow his leadership. You're lucky because you've got a fantastic preacher here. I know what a fantastic preacher he is. After all, he graduated from the Robert Schuller School of Preaching. So you know he's a good preacher. Not only that, I've listened to him preach, and every time I listen to his messages, I start taking notes. Oh, that's a good point. And I write it down. I'm going, I'll use that someday, and I write it down some more. You guys are very, very fortunate. You're fortunate because you've been called by God to be here at this time in this place as a symbol of faith in your in God's love and peace in your lives. Yesterday was Palm Sunday. And in our little drive-in church, we celebrated Palm Sunday with some palm branches. I'll bet you had some palm branches here yesterday, right? You had the palm branches, and what do you say when you wave your palm branches? Hosanna! 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 Am I right? You all did. Hosanna! 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 Hosanna is an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew isn't translated. We just don't translate it. It's not translated into Greek when it's in our Greek New Testaments. And when we get into our churches, we still don't translate it. We just say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But if you wanted to translate it, do you know how you translate it? It says, save us, save us, save us. And that's what the people did as Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem. And he entered through the sheep gate. I've been to Jerusalem years ago when the sheep gate was still the sheep gate. And what do I mean by that? Today, Jerusalem is so developed that they don't have sheep hanging outside the sheep gate anymore. The sheep go through normal commercial processing plants, but back in the early 70s, the shepherds would bring their sheep to the sheep gate, and that's where all of the trading would take place. And it took, that was the same thing in the time of Jesus, hadn't changed. But the significance of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem through the sheep gate is very, has a deep message for us. It is the Lamb of God who's coming into Jerusalem for us to save us. And as we shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. What we're also shouting when we say Hosanna is thank you for your salvation. That one word has all of that tied together. Save us and thank you for your salvation all in one. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And it wasn't long before Jesus started getting himself in trouble in Jerusalem with the Jewish leaders. In fact, it was right away. It didn't take any time at all. And John's account of the triumphant entry, as soon as he comes in John's account, they tie the triumphant entry with the resurrection of Lazarus. You know the story of Lazarus. Jesus' best friend died. He wasn't a little bit dead. He was really dead, to the point where they said, Jesus, he stinks already. That's what I mean by really dead. But that didn't stop Jesus from saying, Lazarus, come forth, and raising Lazarus from the dead. And in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John, the Pharisees recognize that because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and people could see Lazarus alive and walking, that many people were starting to follow Jesus because of that amazing miracle. And so the Pharisees were bound and determined to quiet Jesus and to kill Lazarus so that they would no longer try to follow him anymore. Didn't take long for Jesus coming through the sheep gate, the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for our salvation, before the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders would come after him. And you know, these things never change. I'm leading a Bible study through the book of Acts, and St. Paul traveled all through the around the Mediterranean, around present-day Greece and Turkey, and everywhere he went, he would go into the Jewish synagogues and he would preach, and it wouldn't take long, and the Jewish leaders would drive him out, and they tried to kill him, they would stone him, they would do different things. I believe that as we gather here today, there are leaders who want to drive us out. And that could cause a lot of people to become fearful. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us courage. He has given us a sound mind. He has given us the ability to come together today to worship him, to recognize him, to embrace him, and to realize that with God, all things are possible. So here we sit. We sit here together today on Monday of Holy Week. And throughout my life, Holy Week has been a significant time. My dad was building an all-glass church. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called the Crystal Cathedral. And this cathedral was estimated to cost $7 million. This is 1976. And $7 million in 1976 was really a lot of money. And to raise that kind of money didn't seem impossible. My dad hired a guy who would help him raise some money, and he introduced him to this man named John Crean. And my dad went and met with him on Monday, Thursday of Holy Week and asked him for $1 million. And guess what? John said, okay, just out of the clear blue. Oh, absolutely miraculous thing. He was completely, utterly stunned. He said, okay, I'll give you $1 million. John Crean was the founder of Fleetwood Enterprises. Fleetwood Enterprises is an RV company. If you've had an RV 20 years ago, it was probably made by Fleetwood. Anyone know what I'm talking about? A few of you know what I'm talking about. Fleetwood Enterprises, that was his company. He started off making just one trailer in his garage, and he went and sold that one, and he went back and he built two, and he sold those, and they went back and sold three and sold those, and pretty soon he had factories all across the nation. That was John Crean. So all of a sudden, my dad gets $1 million, and he goes, wow, I've really got to build this thing now. He didn't even know what it would really cost. That was just the guesstimate that he got from the architect. He didn't have enough money to get real bids. So then he gets the real bids from a contractor, and instead of $7 million, it's $14 million. So my dad didn't have enough faith. He went back to John Crean. He goes, John, I can't build this. It's just going to be too much money. Here's $1 million back. And John Crean looked at him and he said, Dr. Shuler, that's $1 million I gave you. Surely you can do something with $1 million. My dad goes, well, I guess I could dig a hole. He says, well, then dig a hole. So my dad was totally and completely convicted. And he went back and he dug a hole. And as those bulldozers were moving the dirt, he said all he could think of was, they're digging my grave. That's all he could think of. He didn't have any more money than that. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And that doesn't mean that it's just going to get up and float away and kind of land over there. When you have an idea and you want to move mountains, what happens is you pray and you pray, and God says, well, what do you have? My dad says, well, I have $1 million. Well, what can you do with it? I can dig a hole. Well, then dig a hole. And you're looking at the things and the dreams and the goals, and you have goals for this church, and you're looking at, well, what do we have? Well, if I'm going to move that mountain, I have a shovel and I have a wheelbarrow. And God goes, okay, get to work. Well, I can't move a mountain with a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Well, get to work. And when we start using the gifts that God has given us, and we start using those, suddenly things start to happen in ways we can't imagine. And suddenly somebody comes along and goes, hey, Steve, you can't move that mountain with a wheelbarrow. I just happen to have a backhoe and a truck. I'll help you out. Before you know it, you get 10 trucks and 10 backhoes. And guess what? The mountain moves. People follow leadership. And you have leadership. And as we continue to follow this leadership and have the faith to move mountains, you will see things start to change. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Power to move mountains. He's He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And with that sound mind, a mind that is connected to the Holy Spirit of God through the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, who entered Jerusalem through the sheep's gate because he came as the Lamb of God, not as a mighty warrior, but as a Lamb of God who would be slain so that our sins would be forgiven and we would be embraced by the grace of God, holy and righteous. In the last year, people have been consumed with death. You turn the any news broadcast on, and what would they report? The current death count, the rising death count, and the death count is rising. And so often we forget and we stop to realize that, of course, the death count is rising. The only way it goes down is if Jesus comes and says, "Lazarus, come forth." That's the only way it cannot go up. If one person dies of COVID or anything else, guess what? You have a rising death count. And that's what they reported all the time. A rising death count. And people became consumed with death for the first time. I remember being interviewed by Larry King after a tornado had come through and devastated a lot of people and killed a lot of people. And Larry King asked me, "Robert, why is it that people suffer, have to suffer like that?" I said, "Larry, everybody's going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. The newborn babies are going to die. There isn't a single person who is not going to die. That's one thing we can be guaranteed of. Death is real. We're all going to die. In the next 100 years, 8 billion people are going to die. It doesn't matter how we die. What matters is how we live. That's what matters. We have been given today to live. Why are we so consumed with death when God has given us life? Live today." In fact, last month I stopped listening to people telling me to be safe. I got so tired of people saying, "Be safe." Every time I left someplace, they'd say, "Be safe." Finally, I'm going, "No, that's okay. I'm just going to have fun. I'm tired of being safe. I just want to live." We don't know whether tomorrow's going to come or go. We don't know how many days we have. But guess what? We have now. We have the present. We have right now. So let's not live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power to move mountains. Not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Oh, you can have all the power in the world, but if you don't use that power for love, it is nothing more than a clanging cymbal. It's useless. So we do everything we can with the Holy Spirit of God, with the power of love. Yeah, I just want to again congratulate you all for having the courage to come together and worship God. There are very few churches in California today that are opening. We're limited to a maximum of 100 people in any church in California. So we have churches that will seat 5,000 people. Do you know how many are allowed inside? I already told you. 100. Why do you think they seat 5,000 people? Because they need to seat 5,000 people. In fact, Rick Warren said if he was going to follow those restrictions, he would have to have a service every 5 minutes, 24 hours a day, in order to get everybody in. I mean, it's unbelievable. But God has not given you a spirit of fear. And he's given you a leader with tremendous courage and foresight and skills to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So open your hearts, open your minds, receive the beauty and the love that God has for you today. And as we go through this thing called COVID, remember to live. Okay, just remember to live today and tomorrow, because we don't know how many days we have, but this we do know, that God is with you always, forever. I noticed when I walked up here today, on the base of your communion table, you have Alpha and an Omega. Just a small little Alpha and a little Omega, the Greek letters. Stands for the beginning and the end. It stands for Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, it stands for you. It stands for your life. Because when we go, our tombstones are going to have two numbers on them, the date you were born and the date you died. And in between, it's going to be a little dash. That's all it is, just a little dash. What are you going to do with that dash? Follow the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to give you the courage to embrace each other, to live, to go forth with faith and know with God you can do all things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are here tonight because you've called us here. We are here today because it is Monday of Holy Week. We are here today because we know that as you entered the sheep's gate, you knew exactly where you were going and where that week would end. And so, God, as you followed your calling with confidence and assurance, help us to take equal strides with confidence and assurance, knowing that when the time comes to us to come home, we will be embraced by you and we will live with you forever. So we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the energy that's here because this place is filled with life. We love you, God, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.